Good morning.
Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Father. And we ask this morning, Father, that you to be with Brother Lindell this morning. We ask that you heal his body. So we ask that you give him more years with this work. We thank you for him and all that he's done and all the years, Lord, that he's been here in your service, Lord. We also pray for our young men out of this church, Lord, especially that are in the armed forces, Lord, and especially those that are right now in Iraq. I think of Justin, Lord, he's there, and other boys, Lord, other men that are there, and we ask you to protect them. We ask, Lord, that you just watch over them, also be with their families, their wives, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, I don't know how I got to be an ex-long-haired hippie. That's been a couple of years now. When I came to San Antonio, I wasn't going for that look. Consider myself, I don't know, a surfer type or something. I don't know. It looked to me, I was a hippie. Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'm only 35. Come on now. I guess that's Brother Lindell's doings. Yeah. He's got a way with fish stories, doesn't he? Luke chapter 9. We're in Toluca, Mexico, and right now Brother Michael and Bill are there this morning, and they'll be coming. Well, if Michael's driving, they'll probably be here for tonight's meeting. You guys pray for that boy. The good thing is Terry sleeps most of the way, so she don't know what's going on. I've been with him in a couple of trips. It's pretty scary. The bad thing with Michael is Michael can sleep with his eyes open. I'm not kidding you. You asked Roland. It was hilarious. We were coming back from, I guess, Leon late at night. I had the van full, and Brother Michael's driving. We're almost to Toluca, and he's driving, and Brother Roland's in the front seat talking to Michael. And Michael's driving like this, and actually, you know, one eye on Roland and one eye on the road, and he has his eyes open, and he's driving. And, you know, all of a sudden I hear Roland say, Michael? You know, and he's there, he's asleep, you know, and so the road is going to curve, you know, and all of a sudden we go, Michael! We just all scream, and he just barely wakes up just in time. Oh, you talk about, man, Lord watching over us. But that's what we got to do sometimes. Right now we're in Toluca, and we're 5 hours away from Leon, and we have men's meeting every 3 months there, and so we got to go right when the meeting ends, and we get there just in time to talk with the brothers and pray with the brothers and basically get back in the car and head on back. And so lots of times we do that and going to different cities and preaching and driving, you know, at night and driving through those roads, and you know, it's just God's mercy that we're still around. And but you know, I don't think God's done with Michael. Luke chapter 9. You know, I just had a thought here as I was thinking about our Lord and, you know, different things this past year, and not only here and, you know, in this work here, but our works in Mexico, you know, just different trials and different, you know, things that just getting, you know, us beat up a little bit and a little down. And, you know, I was thinking about what Brother Mike was saying. Was that 18 churches just in Mexico? So we forgot Poland. Wow, that's 19. That's incredible. You know, I just like bragging on the Lord, you know? Yeah, I mean, he's doing a great work. And if you're not involved, if you're here today and you know, you're lost or you're backslidden or whatever the case is, man, you know, you're just missing out. I mean, this is tremendous what the Lord's done and what the Lord's doing, you know, sending out another young man, Josh, and boy, I'm just thrilled. This is great. In chapter 9, didn't we used to have a little leg here? What happened here? Oh, this is a new one. All right. Okay. All right, I keep going. Pressing the brakes or something, man. Hey, Mike, you got your toolbox? Maybe we can put a little... Good grief. All right. Anyways, let me get away from that piece of wood. Or is that particle? What is that? That ain't even wood. All right, here we go. 51. It says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." You know, that word right there, I've been thinking about steadfast. I've been thinking about, you know, how the Lord, when he came in and when he was started his ministry, you know, nothing was a surprise to him. He knew the hearts. He knew what was going to happen. And even as he revealed it to his disciples and they didn't understand, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. You know, and as I think about being steadfast, you know, what that means is to be firm, to be resolved, to be determined. And you know, and as I thought of that, I related that to how the church should be, to how I should be, to how you should be. You know, lots of times, and it's so easy to get in a rut. It's so easy to go backwards. It's so easy just to be stalemate, or you know, whatever you want to call it. We need to refocus, like the brother was talking about. We need to think about why the Lord actually has us here. And it ain't to play church. It ain't to you know, just live out our life in, you know, the luxuries or whatever we might, you know, have in this life. This is not why God saved me. This is not why God has this church. You know, a lot of people are dying in sin. A lot of people are going to hell every single day. And that is a reality. And, you know, as I was thinking about this, we need to be steadfast in our service to God. You know, our holiness. What happened to, holiness? What happened to our desire to put, like the brother was talking about, putting things aside and seeking after God? Yeah, I know it doesn't seem, you know, Josh was up here trying to paint his life the best he could, and he got to the end, he said, "Well, it's not very exciting." Well, you know what? I mean, it really isn't very exciting according to the world standards. But you know, Josh, you're blessed being a missionary kid. You know, you are blessed being raised in a good church. You're blessed being having your father around a lot of the hours of the day. You know, we go out in the morning and preach, you know, and you know, thank God we can have time for, you know, a devotional time in the morning. You know, we go out and preach. You know, we try to help our kids the best we can in their schoolwork. We come back. We can have lunch with them. We can have supper with them. Go out again in the evening. We're at home a lot when we're not, you know, doing other things, you know. I mean, it's such a blessing to have a father and a mother there watching over you and trying to instruct you, you know. And I do realize that, you know, lots of times, you know, in people's lives, they're not going to always do the right things. But you know what? I thank God that he's given me, not only, that he saved me and put me in this church, but he's given me a good ministry. You know, he's given me a good calling. He's given me a good work and time to be with my wife and time to be with my, daughter and time to have good fellowship with some good people in all our churches. I mean, I have a real good time. I'm really blessed. And you know what? I really don't have plans to come back. You know, and I don't want to do anything else. I mean, there's lots of times I think about coming back. You know, there's lots of times I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, this and this, you know, you hear this, you hear that in different trials and different things. And man, it's just so easy to, let's go get that suitcase and fold it up and go back. But where am I going to go? What am I going to do? This is what God called me to do. This is my spot. This is what I need to be doing. And it blessed me when I read that Christ was steadfast, set his face to Jerusalem. He's got a goal. You know, he was there and he said, you know what? The time's come and that's where I need to be. And he was going to endure all that to die and bleed for our sins. But you know what? When God saved us, when God saved you, he saved us and he died for us so we could also set our face on the goal. You know, he says, this is a tremendous chapter. I don't know if you really check this out or not, but he says some really tremendous things that and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That's just incredible to me. You know, here's somebody says, I'm going with you. You know, I want to go. And that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing for Josh to say, I want to go to Poland. But you know, I guarantee you, Brother Lindo, Brother Trini, and Brother Brian, I guarantee you when it came to that point, a certain point where they had to talk to Josh, they had to give him all the bad news, you know? Like they gave me all the bad news, right? Brother John, we don't give salaries around here. Hold on, I haven't thought that far ahead. You know, I just want to go. No, but you don't understand. Everything that you're going to live on, you know, is going to be from designation. Whatever they give you is whatever you're going to get. I mean, Jesus right here says, I don't have nowhere to live. Man, instead of encouraging them, right? Well, come on. No, but you know what? Our life isn't here. We have a heavenly hope. You know, Jesus wasn't worried about making a homestead here. You know, he wasn't worried about building up things here. He wanted him to know, you know what? This isn't life. This isn't what I have planned for you. I go to prepare a place for you. I go, and the Bible says where he is, that's where we're going to be. You know, I really come to the point, my mom is going to be 69 this year, and I was up there last weekend, and we had a family meeting with some advisor of my sisters and my mom, and they wanted us to start thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to my mom if she has to go in a nursing home or whatever. I mean, she's healthy. There ain't nothing wrong with it. But just thinking about ahead, you know, and here I'm thinking, you know, and I'm thinking about me and, you know, what's going to happen to me and all this stuff. You know, I mean, I guess I just hadn't thought about it in a while. I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think I'm ever going to own a home. You know, if things keep going the way they're going and the Lord has me there in Mexico, I don't think I'm going to buy a home. I think I'm just going to rent for as long as the Lord has me there. And if I go somewhere else, I'll probably just end up renting there too. I'm just going to be living out of other people's homes. You know, actually the only home I do have, I pull behind my truck. I got a little pop-up camper that Brother Lindo gave to me. Well, I like to think he gave it to me. I think everybody else he offered it to were wise enough not to take it. I said, no, give it to John. He's a dummy. He'll take that thing. So that's my home. It's got a bathroom. It's a two-bedroom. It's got a sink and it's got a refrigerator. It's a nice place for the rats to live. But it's portable. You know, as I thought about that, Jesus says here that he, the Son of Man, hath not where to lay his head. And then he goes on to say, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. What a statement. You know, he tells somebody, you know what? You ain't probably going to have anywhere to live around here if you follow me. You know, I mean, Jesus, I'm glad Jesus is my friend. You know, I'm glad Jesus is my savior. And I'm glad Jesus has prepared a place for me up in the heaven. You know, I'm glad I have a spot just waiting for me where I don't got to pay no mortgage and I don't got to pull it behind my truck. I'm glad for that. But then he goes and says here, hold on a minute. Let me go bury my dad. My dad, he just passed away, and I'll be right with you. And Jesus doesn't even acknowledge that. He says, you let the dead bury the dead. Follow me. Incredible. You know, I read this. Well, you know what? We're not dead, people. We got a lively hope. You know, people are going to die, and that is true. But you know what? There's something even worse than just dying, is dying in your sins. Dying without a hope. But you and I, we got a lively hope. You know, I was sitting there, and as this gentleman was pointing out all the different things that could happen to my mom, and he mainly wanted us to start thinking about who's going to take care of my mom. Who's going to take care of my mom? And I'm sitting there, and I say, I'm the only boy. You know, what am I going to do? Well, steadfast. He goes on to say, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home and at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, you know what? We are not of them who draw back. That's what the word says in Hebrews chapter 10. It says, we are not of them that draw back. You know, a lot of things that can happen. A lot of things can go wrong. A lot of things have gone wrong. Things that we haven't even thought about. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about all the what ifs that could happen. And I'm the only boy. And my mom's a widow. And I got three sisters there living in the same city. And at first I felt kind of bad, you know, because, you know, I couldn't speak up. I couldn't say, well, you know, I'll take care. I can't. I just can't do it. And, you know, it just brought back again when Christ says, you got to take up your cross and follow him. Steadfast, set your face to Jerusalem. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of decisions. Man, you talk, and I've said it before. I've thought it before. You know, you think living, being a Christian and living a Christian life is a wimpy way? It ain't wimpy. It takes a manly decisions. And I'm speaking that, you know, what'd you say? There you go. In general. Generic. Whatever. For both people. Unisex. I don't know. Anyways, the wimpy way is not to follow Christ. That's the wimpy way. Right. You know? People think, no, you know, you guys, you Christians are a bunch of, you know, no backbone, all this, you know. It's not true. You know, it takes somebody who can see just a little bit farther from this life to know that whatever we sacrifice for his name, we ain't gonna lose.
Right.
You know? Lots of people, and many of us here, live for today. Just for today. You know, I'd be miserable if I just had this life. Might be people here right now who just have this life. You came to church today, possibly because your parents forced you, or possibly just out of, goodwill to somebody else. I don't know. But if you don't have Christ, you have no life. And if this world is what you're putting your hopes in, that's ludicrous. I mean, you talk about having uncertainty in the world. You know, you talk about not knowing, you know, what's going to happen today and tomorrow. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. But you know what? With Christ, you know, I hear that little voice, steadfast. You know, you have a goal. I saved you not to abandon you. I saved you not to just leave you by the wayside. He's walking with you, and he's walking with us. No matter what hardship, no matter what happens, if you have Christ, you're already victorious. We are already victorious. You know, the word says that we are not of those that draw back into perdition. You know, I can't imagine what life would be now that I know Christ without him. There's just no way. I would have such an unrest in me. It's not even, you know, something that I even think about. But Jesus taking this journey, you know, he even says that in one of the Gospels that the Son of Man is like a man that has taken a journey. You know? And he's left us. You know, he's left us in charge of something great. You know, a vineyard. You know, he left us in charge of his work. He's going to be coming back. And he's going to give an account. He's going to ask an account. You know, he's taken just a little journey and leaving us this work so we can continue. And you know, as I'm thinking about this, and Jesus gets there and he starts telling his disciples what's going to happen and the things he's going to have to suffer and the things he's going to have to go through. And even Peter pulls him aside and he says there in Matthew, he says, this shall not be unto thee. When Jesus is telling them what's going to happen, Peter stands up and rebukes them. He says, no, this ain't going to happen to you. You know, they didn't understand why he came. They didn't have a clue what he was going to have to do. You know, they probably even thought he was making a big mistake even speaking those things. It made me think the extreme that our God had to go to make us whole, to make us quiet, to make us, to give us a lively hope. You know, as I thought about that, you know, I'm thinking our Lord went to the cross and he went basically alone, you know, and lots of times you and I, lots of times you and I, and even as a church, you know, we might be going through stuff and we might be thinking, man, we're going at this thing alone. You know, I don't know how it's going to come out. You know, people might even be against the decisions you're going to have to make, the decisions that we're making, you know, the decisions to follow Christ. People will be against it. And why? They don't understand. They do not have an idea of the peace that I have. You know, and lots of times it's hard to explain, especially in the midst of problems. You know, well, this is going on, or that happened, or the church in Leon is going through this, or someone's over here in sin, or an elder did this, and now he's you know, giving up his position, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, what is going on? But you know what? Jesus went right through this basically alone. He had John there at the foot of the cross, but he went all the way for your sakes. Hey, you know how he did it? Steadfast. Steadfast, he set his face on Jerusalem. And you know, I started thinking about this and you know, going through all these different things. You know, I don't have any idea what's going to happen. You know? I mean, it ain't no news flash that, you know, Brother Lindo is going to be here forever. You know what I'm saying? One of these days, he's going to go and be with the Lord. You know? And it's going to be a great day. We were just talking about that. I think at Bill Miller's the last time I was up. And he was talking about somebody died in his or close friend or somebody and they had a big old barbecue. He said, man, that's what I want. A big old barbecue. Man, I said, I want to be there. I like barbecue. You know, I'm there, Brother Lindell. I'll get a double portion. Hey, we got a lively hope. Sure, there's lots of things in this world, in this church, things that are going to happen to us personally. They're going to get us down a little bit. We're going to be walking down, you know, walking around for a little bit with our hands down. We're going to be walking around maybe not knowing or kind of in a fog for just a little bit. But this too's going to pass. One thing that I know for sure is our Lord is coming back. One thing I know for sure is that one day he's going to wipe all our tears. I know one day when our Lord comes back and we hear that sound and we all go out of here, it's going to be over. Amen. You know, I started thinking about, you know, we have no greater friend than our Lord. I mean, the Bible says he laid his life for us. You know, man, you think this book is boring? Man, it is what? Friend of God? He laid down his life for me? Incredible, you know? Oh, don't take that literal, you know? Come on, give me a break. I'm his friend. He saved me. I know him personally. We have no greater friend. Let me tell you, you put your trust in people? No, I'd rather put my trust in God. You know, people wrong me, I got God. You know, is it a great surprise that we're going to suffer? Is it a great surprise if we go through some trials here? No. God didn't keep Christ from any trials. Just look at what the word says. The Bible says that he came to his own and his own received him not. I mean, you figure if I'm going to go somewhere, I would have picked somewhere where they're going to receive me. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to go somewhere where I'm invited. I'd like to go somewhere where actually people like me. But, you know, God didn't choose that. He says, you know, I'm going to send him somewhere where they're not going to receive him, where they're going to kill him. You know, he didn't take the easy road. Look where he was born. You know? He says he don't even have a place to lay his head. Going from here to there, people opening up their homes, feeding them, you know, working, healing, preaching. How did he do all this? Steadfast. Steadfast, he set his face. Steadfastly set his face on Jerusalem. You know, I started thinking about also another thing. It says in Peter, if you turn there, chapter 4. I got a few more thoughts, and you got to excuse me if I'm really getting off my outline here, but oh well. That's just the way it goes sometimes. In chapter 4 and verse 1, some verses, it says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, and charity shall cover the multitude of sins." You know, as I was reading this and Peter's here talking, and he's telling basically the church, basically us, that we need to have the same mind as Christ. He suffered for us in the flesh, and it ain't no big surprise that we suffer for him. And, you know, what caught my eye right here is in 4, and it says that they think it's strange that you run not with them. You know, I know that from the time I got saved, I started being a little bit more stranger, if that's the word. You know, I knew, right off the bat that I was going to have to make some decisions. And some of those decisions took a little longer for me to make, and which is, you know, kind of sad. But, you know, you and I are called to make lots of decisions, you know. And the only way that we're going to get through and actually get through those hard decisions is if we steadfastly keep our face towards the mark, towards our high calling, towards heaven, you know. And as I was thinking of this, and Jesus going there, going alone, with nobody there, I was also thinking, steadfast, what that means to me also is that quitting wasn't an option. It's just not an option. It's just, what else am I going to do? You know? And as I'm reading, and as I'm going to Isaiah, and I'm reading how our Lord didn't open his mouth, how our Lord took everything, stayed on the cross, and died for our sins. And I started thinking, he was steadfast, he knew his mission, he knew what he had to do, and he did it for you and I. And I'm starting to think here, well, you know what? I know why God saved me. And quitting is also not an option. And I'm thinking the only way you and I are going to continue, the only way you and I are going to keep focused is if we take his example. And if we suffer, okay, we suffer. But the main thing I want to tell you today is we've got to be steadfast and set our face, set our eyes on that goal. You know, in Matthew 28, and I start thinking, you know, it's amazing to me how when you read the Bible, and lots of times, folks, we read this book, and I know we do it just because we know we got to do it. But and lots of times you think, well, what's the point? What's the use? You know, reading the Bible, reading, studying the Word. Well, you know what? In those darkest times, God's Word is what's going to get us through. You know, and as I'm sitting there listening to all this and not being able to answer, you know, everything that's going on and what they were talking about with my mom and my sisters, and I wasn't able to respond, you know, I thought of this in verse 20, and it says in the middle, and it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the world. You know, I just think that the way the Lord and how he could go all the way to the cross is God never forsook him. God went with him all the way to the cross. He was nailed for our transgressions, and he was with him to the very end. You know, and lots of times I think that is what's going to get us through. Lo, I'm with you always. What an amazing statement. You know, in the darkest, darkest times, in the times we have no idea, no answer, what is going on? We can still hear Christ saying, I'm still with you. I'm with you always. I'm with you to the end. You know, I'm sure glad that's in there. To the end? Not three quarters of the way. You know, not just a little bit, but all the way to the end. You know, I started thinking about this and how quitting is definitely not an option for me, and hopefully not an option for this church. If it is an option for this church, then I guess it's going to make it a little bit harder for me to fulfill what I want to do. But, you know, we're here in this mission conference, and I just like to tell you all that we need to keep our mind, our eyes steadfast, no matter what happens. And there's a lot I know in your lives, in my life, in this church, and things we'll probably never understand. But you know what? Jesus sat there and he said, you know, you're not going to have a place to live. You know, you let the dead go bury the dead. You know, a person that gets right down to it, they ain't no turning back. You understand this, right? You're going to follow me. You can't just turn around and go back. You know, come what come, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word says he's the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, I want to read one more verse, Lamentations. Kind of gets lost. It's right after Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. You know, it's a good thing that we should hope. And it's a good thing that a man should wait patiently. You know, the Lord, he's not done with us. And the Lord's not done with me. The Lord's not done until we hear that trump, until we hear that sound, until we meet the Lord in the sky. That's when it'll be done. That's when the end will come. But you know, until that time, I think we need to think about those little words, steadfastly set his face to Jerusalem. And you and I, if we're saved, we do have a goal. We do have somewhere. This is not it. We need to steadfastly set our face on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is coming for us. Amen.